An NBA great is about to weigh in on the Donald Sterling controversy, and we'll find out who the Black Hebrews are today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, welcome to this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on the Line of Fire broadcast. We're going to cover a bunch of Jewish-related issues today, some from some unusual angles. And Donald Sterling, in the middle of the NBA controversy, is himself Jewish, as is the commissioner of the NBA and the former commissioner of the NBA. I'm just waiting for people to say this is further proof that the Jews control the world. I'll be able to take some of your Jewish-related calls as well, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And in a few minutes, I'm going to be joined by Paul Westfall. Those of you who follow basketball over the years are familiar with his name. He was an all-star with the Boston Celtics, won a championship with them, was a coach of several NBA teams. He's going to join us through a mutual friend. We got connected and give us his take. Paul is a committed follower of Jesus. So that's going to happen in a few minutes. And years ago, I was doing an outreach in conjunction with Times Square Church in New York City. Had the privilege of preaching there dozens of times from 91 to 95. And this particular day, I took a walk with a friend, Jewish believer who now lives in Israel, and as I walked past, there were all kinds of people on the street. There were street preachers. There were people selling Islamic stuff. There's every kind of vendor and thing going on there in the city streets near Times Square, and I heard really loud sound. I was like, "What's that?" And as I got closer, there was a group with an amplification system, and There were men up there speaking. They looked very fierce. They looked kind of like a combination between a biblical outfit and a Star Trek outfit. It's hard to describe. And as they began to speak, quoting from some scripture and other things, I thought, oh, these must be Black Hebrews. It's a cult. And at one point, I raised my hand and said, if we're not Jews, why did Hitler kill 6 million of us? And they gave some answer, and Hitler knew you weren't Jewish, and so on. Anyway, I just walked on. You know, they had the mic and the amplification. But I felt the Spirit say to me, you're not done. You're not done. So I turned around, and I went back, and I stood in the middle of the crowd, and they were whipping people up into some real hostility. This is a real sect. And I began to shout at the top of my lungs, these men are deceiving you. They're preaching hate. Jesus preached religion of love. And I said, the black man, the Jew, we need each other. We're going to find ourselves at the bottom of the barrel one day, and we need each other. And I started preaching and so on. Anyway, they, of course, they had the mic. They started shouting even more loudly. And what I didn't realize, what I didn't calculate at that moment, was that I was the only white person in this small crowd. And this crowd was quite hostile. You have white racism, you have black racism, you have racism against Asians, you have anti-Semitism. There are all kinds of hatreds and all different haters and all different groups. I just happened to be in the midst of a black crowd that hated white people, just like there are white crowds that hate black people terribly. That's the state of the world. And they started to shout out, death to America, death to the white man, death to America. And that's when I got up close and said, listen, man, we need each other. We need each other, and Jesus is the only way, and then walked on. Anyway, later today, we'll have some guests on to talk about Black Hebrews. This is actually a bigger issue in the inner city than many of us know, so we're going to be addressing that as well. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, the number to call. My guest, Paul Westfall, NBA great, will be joining us shortly.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. Number to call. Welcome to our Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast. And I was joking earlier about tying this in with Jewish issues, namely Donald Sterling being Jewish and the current and former commissioners of the NBA being Jewish. But it's just a story that's in the news. I wrote an article on this that should be up within a day or so. And I'm really privileged to have on the air with me Paul Westfall. I remember watching Paul play many years ago. He was a five-time All-Star, won an NBA championship with the Boston Celtics in 1974, coached the Phoenix Suns to the NBA Finals, also coached Seattle Supersonics and other coaching, and served as a coach of the men's basketball team in Pepperdine University, and even volunteered on to help his son's high school basketball team. So he's done it all. Paul, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Great, great. It was a joy to go to a game with you years back. Our mutual friend Scott Volk set that up, and I do appreciate you coming on the air with us. Paul, first, are you surprised, as someone who's been involved with the NBA for many years, that problems are now surfacing with Mr. Sterling?
Oh, I don't think anybody that has been involved very closely with the NBA or even heard the stories is totally surprised. The way it came to light is very interesting, and you know it's troubling. But the fact is that I don't think that anybody is shocked to hear that these are some of the things that he was thinking.
Now, what about the current culture of the NBA? I don't know how it was when you were a player, but for this owner married 50 years to have a mistress, come to the games with a mistress, and then he says he doesn't want her associating with blacks or bringing them to the game, and it's the latter issue, his racist comments, his ugly comments that get all the focus. It doesn't seem to be much of a focus that he's got a mistress and has had others. Does that surprise you?
Well, given our culture and the acceptance of almost anything going, no, it really doesn't surprise me. I think that's, you know, people look at those kinds of decisions as personal decisions that don't affect other people, even though they're abhorrent to traditional standards of morality. But, you know, I think that the one issue that all the owners can get behind, and I'm not minimizing the racial aspect at all, because I think it's very sincere, the way that they have responded to the racist rants. But, you know, it's costing them money, too, to be his partner. If those statements came out publicly, and they did, and they were viewed to support them in any way, you know, it could actually bring the league down. And to me, it, you know, the bottom line pragmatic issue with all of them above the morality involved is that the financial devastation would have been monumental, and they couldn't let that stand.
All right. What on the larger issue in terms of what the NBA is doing here, of course, he's launched a countersuit, said this is modern day extortion. He's wanted to get $1.7 billion. Obviously, everyone rejects his comments. Obviously, when you've got a league dominated by gifted African-American players and many coaches and executives, it makes it all the more bizarre that he could be an owner, have a black coach, have black players, and make the comments he did. But Mark Cuban, the Dallas Mavs owner, made a statement. He made it clear he stood with the NBA and the commission and all that, but was concerned that there could be some kind of a slippery slope. Now, he's not a conservative Christian guy, anything but. But do you think that there's a valid concern that there could be some kind of witch hunt based on other morality or other standards that get imposed?
Oh, absolutely. It's you know, there's a lot of nuance to this, and you know, the you know, what we feel in our in our hearts doesn't always align with what's possible with laws and with, like you talk about the slippery slope. I mean, there's a lot of nuance beyond just the outrageousness of what he said and how he's acted. And, you know, once lawyers get involved, as we all know, sometimes all bets are off, and what's right doesn't end up being what comes out of people acting under right motives.
All right. Rush Limbaugh had made the statement that he's been informed that they're going to be going after another owner because this owner does not support two men or two women, quote, marrying. Do you actually think that the NBA culture could go in that direction, where they'll take something this morally divisive and something that the whole world has agreed on for millennia and make this some type of a guideline that you have to be in support of, otherwise you're going to be booted out by other owners? I mean, it seems extreme to me, but Rush seemed to have this from a good source.
Well, it seems extreme to me, too, and I doubt if they could pull that off yet. You know, tragic actions people could take down the road and justify them, who knows? But I still think that there are enough owners and just, people of influence that would draw the line there. And if not, we're in a lot more trouble than we think we are.
Right. Yeah, I would hope so as well. Although these days, nothing would really surprise me. And now, when you were in the NBA, Paul, were you a believer at that time?
Yes.
So obviously, just in any setting where you're a celebrity, where you're getting a good amount of money, where people can just want to get near you, when you have things at your fingertips that most of us would never get to touch in a lifetime. Did you find it especially challenging to be in that environment and live out your faith, or to you is it no different than anybody else's situation, just living in a hostile world?
Well, I would say that there's no person in the world that could have every action they've ever been involved in withstand scrutiny.
Right.
And when the magnifying glass is bigger, certainly the risks are greater that, any mistakes person might make might be exposed. So I think that pressure certainly can come to bear on a lot of people. And it's God sees everything we do, and that's really the that should be everyone's concern more than what the public sees. But as we know, and as Donald Sterling's found out, that there is no privacy, and the bigger the fishbowl, the less privacy there is, and that certainly should be a concern for everyone, and particularly those in the public eye.
Right. You know what I've been reminded of here: he makes private comments. I don't agree with what Adam Silver said, the commissioner of the NBA. Well, they were private; they are public. I mean, you still have to ask, how did they become public, or can that be pulled on anyone? But it reminds me of Jesus saying, that which is spoken in secret, whispered in secret, is going to be shouted from the rooftops. God knows. The biggest thing is that God knows. And either we're right with him and receiving cleansing from the blood of Jesus, or we're going to have to give account on that day. One other comment that I cited in an article that'll be out shortly, as I mentioned, and Rush Limbaugh mentioned that on his show yesterday. He cited an email that made this claim: you can find 8 NBA players and 1 coach, a total of 9 men, who've hooked up with 55 women and produced 72 children over the past few years with no marriages involved. Let's just cast the bigger net, the sports world, the celebrity world today. We don't know if this is true or accurate or not, but when you hear something like that, do you roll your eyes and say, that's just crazy, that's made up? Or do you think, yeah, there's a lot of decadence out there in the world?
Oh, that's not made up. I mean, there are names attached to those numbers that,
right,
any research can find who those people are that's being discussed there. You know, our society's more permissive. There's no doubt about it. And it's become exponentially more permissive in our lifetime. And that's why I'm saying that the real issue here is our society allows certain things, doesn't allow for other things. And right now, the deal breaker, and I'm not, you know, it's abhorrent, so I'm not arguing with it. The deal breaker is racism. And, you know, there are examples of racism going other directions, though, that aren't as abhorrent to our society. But
right.
when people, you know, the marketplace is speaking here more than...
Yeah, tell you what, let me just jump in. You can finish your comments on the other side of the break. And then I had two more quick questions from my guest, NBA great Paul Westphal.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This morning, I spoke to several hundred high school students at Charlotte Christian School, and I was talking about the world they're growing up in, the challenging of it. You know, middle schools doing what's middle schoolers sexting each other, and the decadence of the society. If you want to become famous, you put out a sex tape. It is a very different world with all kinds of challenges. And Paul Westphal, my guest, former NBA great. Paul, you were mentioning when we got cut off right at the end of that segment, the permissive society we live in and things extending beyond the NBA. So I just wanted to give you a moment to finish.
Well, I feel like I kind of made my point. It's hard. I don't know how to take it much beyond that other than to say, to me, the morality of the owners banning Donald Sterling for life is real in their eyes, but it also is because it's a financial decision for them. And, you know, their morality might cause them to feel certain ways, but they wouldn't necessarily take the action if they disagree with someone unless they were faced with financial ruin or great financial gain by their actions.
Right, absolutely. On a personal level, Paul, you went from first team All-Star in the NBA, the accolades of everything you did. You've been an NBA coach, so dealing with all the players and the press, the media, and you then helped your son and his high school basketball team. How does that work? I mean, you're a big name. You're a celebrity. How do you go from that to just regular life? Obviously, there's a lesson for everybody here.
Well, it's all regular life, Mike. I know you know that, but I never tried to do anything in order to get famous. I certainly like getting paid, and if you move up the ladder, you know you can make a good living. But the main thing is just for to live each day, doing what you believe is what you ought to be doing. And at various stages in your life, that...
You still
Hello?
There?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here. I'm still here, yeah.
All right. Thought we lost you there for a second.
Yeah.
All right.
So it seemed like a natural thing.
Yeah, and I appreciate you having that perspective. It didn't go to your head. And it is, everybody's just a regular person, the biggest celebrity, the president, the pope, everybody's just a human being, frail human being who needs the Lord. And it's great you were able to keep your head in the midst of that. I do understand, though, through an anonymous source that you carry a snake bag.
There's no anonymity in this world, and you know that. Scott Bulk is putting that word out about me, and I three-putted once like 25 years ago and got the booby prize, which is the snake I have to carry around, and he's been dodging me ever since on the golf course. So
well here's the truth of it. He actually texted me from the golf course the other day excited that he had managed to four-putt. That was actually a big step forward for him. So I think that's why he's been avoiding you on the golf course. But we'll try to facilitate that and get that snake out of your bag. Hey, Paul, thanks for the witness you've carried through these years, the integrity you've walked in, and thanks for joining us and giving us firsthand input on the NBA.
Well, I enjoyed the conversation, Mike, and keep up the good work. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much. All right. Well, that was a joy getting to speak with Paul Westfall. And maybe we'll go on YouTube and look at some of his best shots that are preserved from his days with the Boston Celtics. Joey, clip number 13, since this is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, clip number 13, this is Donald Sterling, who is talking about going to Israel and how black Jews in Israel, these are not black Hebrews, it's not the cult, we're talking about black Jews from Africa, how they are treated in Israel. Clip number 13.
You go to Israel, the blacks are just treated like dogs.
So do you have to treat them like that too?
The white Jews, there's white Jews and black Jews. Do you understand?
And are the black Jews less than the white Jews?
100%, 50%.
And is that right?
It is a question. We don't evaluate what's right and wrong. We live in a society. We live in a culture. We have to live within that culture.
Ah. Thanks, Dwight, for your post there. Look, you're dealing with all kinds of bigoted, racist things with this gentleman, Donald Sterling. But isn't it fascinating that in our world, not a problem to be known for having mistresses and paying prostitutes, bringing a mistress to your game when you're married? How about saying that both are wrong? How about saying that both raise major moral issues? But that is the level of moral confusion and moral apathy in our society today. And Joey, clip number 14. This is a gentleman on YouTube identified as T. West. And according to him, Donald Sterling is a false Jew. Oh, yeah, the plot thickens. Clip 14.
Now, it is not often that you catch these devils saying things like you're going to hear a false Jew, Donald Sterling. Many within the synagogues, the one that Christ said in Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9, he called them and said that they are of the synagogue of Satan, those who call themselves Jews but are not. They've stolen your resources. They've stolen your identity. They've stolen even your religion.
Ah, look at that. This gentleman has 2,773 subscribers, and his YouTube videos have been watched almost 500,000 times. Very, very interesting how we need to get past this nonsense and rhetoric, humble ourselves before God, and learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. By the way, I made a mistake. Positive one. The Tree of Life Version Bible that we have been announcing, they will be in our midst in about 4 weeks. They will be arriving. I didn't realize that the retail value of this hardcover Bible is $30. I've been saying suggested retail of $25. It's actually a suggested retail of $30. But this is yours. This has never been made available before. In fact, I am the first one to be speaking about it on the air nationally in this way. Your gift of any size, but again, suggested retail value of $30, so those who can help with a more generous gift can help those who have less, will send you the Tree of Life version. This is a brand new translation of the complete Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, and it has messianic sensitivities. James is Jacob. Jude is Judah. In the right places, law is Torah. Jesus is Yeshua. Mary is Miriam. Christ is Messiah. But it's a lively translation, well done with sensitivity to the harmony between the testaments. Your gift of any size, suggested retail value $30. 1-800-278-9978. Be among the first in the world to get this. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. That is 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yes, 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 it is. It is. It is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'll have some time to take some Jewish-related calls if you want to get in. Again, 866-34-TRUTH. If you're listening to me on WEZE right now, or if you're anywhere in the greater Boston area, I'm coming your way. That's right. I am coming your way this weekend, God willing. And here's the schedule. Saturday afternoon, this will be a Christian assembly in Somerville, Massachusetts. I'll be speaking from 1 to 4. This is leaders only. I'll be talking about authentic fire versus strange fire, the controversy over the things of the spirit for today versus cessationism. We'll have Q&A with leaders, but that's for pastors and leaders only from 1 to 4. And then I'll be preaching 7 o'clock at night, Somerville, Massachusetts Christian Assembly, preaching Saturday night, and then Sunday morning at 10. I'm not sure what the subject matter will be Saturday night, Sunday morning. I'm just confident that the Lord will stir your heart if you are there. So for details, go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and just navigate over to itinerary. That's right under contact. Go to itinerary, and you'll get all the details there. I really do hope to see you. By the way, if you are able to come and you listen regularly, normally I'll be at the book table at the end signing books and greeting folks. Love to meet you face to face. Joey, let's go to clip number 15. I want to continue this idea that Jews today are false Jews, that any Caucasian Jews are false Jews, that the true original Jews are black. Now, I like what Billy Graham once said years ago. He was speaking to a mixed audience, and he said, "Listen as a white man speaking to those who were black." He said, "Jesus was darker than me and lighter than you." So, in point of fact, Jesus is a Middle Eastern Jew. We know that, and we know that there's African blood that's mixed in the tribes of Israel. We know that. We know that Moses had an Ethiopian wife. There's no disputing that. We also know that Moses himself was not Ethiopian. So this idea that white Jews are false is just one of these lies that spreads around. So this is a gentleman online on his YouTube channel, and he's talking about revealing the false Jew. Clip number 15.
Many within the synagogues, the one that Christ said in Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9, he called them and said that they are of the synagogue of Satan, those who call themselves Jews but are not. They've stolen your resources. They've stolen your identity. They've stolen even your religion.
All right. In a moment, we are going to be joined by Matt Slick, who's president and founder of CARM, the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry. And we're going to be talking about this phenomenon called Black Hebrews. This is a sect. This is a cult. This is not Ethiopian Jews or Jews in other parts of Africa. This is not African Americans who have converted to Judaism. This is a sect, a cult, and just like there are white supremacist cults and there are groups like the KKK with their abhorrent beliefs about people of color, there is also hatred on the other side with groups like this who say the white man is the manifestation of Satan. And this is actually bigger in the cities of America than many of us would know.
Yeah.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. Joey, I want to play clip number 5. This is a black Hebrew Israelite who is preaching about the real meaning of Jewish.
When you deal with the word Jewish, the suffix ISH means pertaining to. If somebody drinks coffee, they keep a kind of yellowish, but it's not yellow. You understand? So now we are not Jewish. The white man that calls himself a Jew, he is Jewish. Why? Because he's following the customs of a people that he is not.
Reminds me again of when I confronted black Hebrew Israelites in Manhattan in the early 90s and was told that I was not a real Jew, and that the white man was the manifestation of Satan. The thing that's so interesting to me, as long as I've been a believer, I felt a special affinity to my African-American brothers and sisters, special spiritual connection, special joy preaching in services and being together. And I look at this as just another work of Satan to divide and destroy. I was contacted by a colleague with CARM, the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry, CARM.org, a wonderful apologetics ministry resource. And this colleague said, you know, this is a bigger issue than you realize. You don't see it a lot on social media, but it's a bigger issue in the inner city. And it's something to really deal with. And to their credit, CARM immediately did research on this, posted resources. You'll be able to find out a lot more by going to CARM.org. But I am blessed to be joined now by my friend Matt Slick, who is the president and founder of CARM, the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry. Matt, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Michael.
Matt, how in the world did you and your team focus on this? Because in the apologetics world, it's not the kind of thing we run into a lot.
Well, one of our co-workers, let's say, was in New York, just much like you were, and he encountered them. And so that was the impetus to write an article, do some research on the people, the black Hebrew Israelites, and that's how we got into it.
All right. What did you find when you looked into this? How widespread is this? In inner cities and other parts of America, what kind of influence is it having?
Well, unfortunately, it's growing. The inner cities where whites aren't really welcome for various reasons or trusted. The idea of following the Bible and also being black in this combination just kind of finds a better foothold and fertile ground in, well, let's just say inner cities where it's predominantly black populace. That's not to say that all blacks hold to that, but that's where it's mainly growing, and it's slowly increasing.
So when you looked into it, you found out it's playing into negative sentiments. And again, all throughout our society, we have these hotbed issues. We have negative attitudes towards different peoples, whether it's towards Asians, towards Hispanics, towards whites, towards blacks, towards Jews. That's the state of the human race. We as believers have to constantly be working together in unity and honoring each other. But as you were looking into this, what would you say it was feeding off of, and what are the distinct components of this black Hebrew Israelite movement?
Well, I'm just going to give you my opinion. You know, I've researched them, and the great majority will say they're not racist and that they oppose violence. They don't think that whites are of the devil. But there seems to be an underlying racism, and I'll be careful in saying this, because blacks can be racist as just the same as whites can. The black Hebrew Israelite, you have to be basically black from the tribe of Judah in order to be a true Jew. Since you're a white guy, and I know you have a Jewish heritage, you're not a true Jew. And so what we find, I believe, is an undercurrent of racism working through the movement. I think it's unfortunate. I think the enemy of the gospel can use it and cause division. And I'm with you. You know, I love my black brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't care what color they are, and I certainly don't care what color Jesus was. I just care that His blood was shed for my sins, and that through faith and trust in him, I could be forgiven. And that's the important thing. But the enemy likes to foment division. And one of the most clear distinctives of division as possible is skin color. And the Black Hebrew Israelite movement does play off that to some extent.
And what are the distinctive ideologies? Is there a faith set with it? Is it just a matter of saying, we are the real Israelites and we believe all the orthodox things that are in Scripture, or do they have unique sets of beliefs?
Well, this is the problem, is there is no one corpus, there is no one document that defines what it is. They began here in the United States before the Civil War, and in the late 1890s, another group was formed, and they've kind of divided here and there, and then in the 1980s, there was a resurgence, and a lot more groups were formed, and some of them don't agree with each other, but overall, they have commonalities. Of course, you've got to be black to be a true Jew, and from the tribe of Judah, and in 70 AD, that range, when the persecution occurred and the Temple of Jerusalem was destroyed, they fled to Africa. And they believe that the prophecy of Deuteronomy 28:68, which is a mention of God that the Israelites themselves will be taken in boats and sold into slavery, they say that is the manifestation of the white Europeans who sold blacks into the United States for slavery. So that's a common thread they have there. And like I said, they deny the Trinity. They believe that God's true name is Yah, not Yahweh, but Yah. And as far as Jesus goes, and this is the critical issue, is they believe that some believe he's the Messiah, and really is the Messiah, but they tend to deny his divinity. And in so doing, that qualifies them as being a non-Christian cult in that sense. And they also hold to salvation by keeping the law, particularly the Old Testament books of the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They deny hell as a real existence. Some, like I said earlier, some believe white people are really evil. Some don't believe that at all. Some hold to the Talmud, which is the commentary on the Torah, the first five books of Moses, and some don't. So it's kind of hard to nail them all down. We can only just speak in generalities as a whole group.
All right. And in terms of growth and impact, have you spoken to inner city pastors who said that this is something that they're really dealing with and confronting?
You know, I've not spoken with too many inner city pastors. I remember some conversations a few years ago I had, and they're concerned with the racism that is prevalent in the city as well as anybody else might be outside. And the conversations we had, I'm trying to remember, I don't recall anything specific about the Black Hebrew Israelites, but there were comments about racism going on within the cities. And I really enjoyed my conversations with these black pastors, very open, very encouraging, godly men. That's about all I remember about those conversations. My research mainly is on the web, and I've not personally encountered any in a face-to-face situation. I have on the internet, but that's about it.
Right. So have you found from what you've researched that any of them have an orthodox view of Jesus and his death and atonement only through him?
No. No, I haven't encountered that. Now, here's the problem. You see, there might be some black Hebrew Israelites listening right now, some subdivision or some sect within them, and say, yes, we do affirm that. But I've not been able to find any place where it actually affirms the hypostatic union, the divine and human natures in the single person of Christ, though I understand that they're supposed to be there and be out there. But for the most part, since they deny the Trinity, some do say that he is divine, Jesus is divine. But the problem is that when a group says, well, we don't affirm the doctrine of the Trinity, but we do say Jesus is divine, that's not good enough. You have to ask questions. Well, what do you mean by he's divine? Because the doctrine of the Trinity gives the logical, biblical foundation for true incarnation of the divine man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And so when you don't have the Trinity, you really don't have a true possible incarnation there. This is why more questions have to be asked. And I would love to be able to sit down with a top Black Hebrew Israelite theologian and ask a lot of very pointed questions to find out exactly what they do affirm, because sometimes they will say they believe in the divinity of Jesus, but we don't really know what that means,
right,
particularly in their light of denying the Trinity. So it's a little tough to answer.
All right. When we come back, Matt, I just want to pursue one more line of questioning, namely, has Christianity become so white and European that it has departed from its roots? So you have the Black Hebrew Israelites who've swung all the way over in one way and become unbiblical as just a cult. Then you have on the other end, has Christianity gone so far the way of European Caucasian faith that it's lost its biblical Middle Eastern Jewish roots? More with Matt Slick.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the broadcast, talking with about Black Hebrew Israelites with my guest, Matt Slick, founder and president of CARM, one of the leading apologetics resource ministries online, the website carm.org. By the way, next hour, I'll have a gentleman who holds to some of this teaching that we call Black Hebrew Israelite doctrine and would obviously want to separate himself from some things that have been said, Carl Albert. He'll be joining us in the next hour. I'll get to speak with him directly. Clip number 6, Joey.
Do you have against white? Excuse me? Do you have against white? Why don't you ask the son next time you get melanoma, okay?
What?
I'm just asking, why don't you ask the son, what do you got against white people the next time melanoma, that's skin cancer. You have a pheno and geno disease. You lack pigment and melanin.
What does that
okay,
matter?
Think about
it. What does that matter in the big scheme of
everything.
Things?
It doesn't. Why does it mean everything?
What
because
does that matter?
God did not bless you to be protected from the sun.
Ah, the issue of skin color. Again, this is a very militant voice and one that is filled with hostility. Our guest is going to have a different take on that in the next hour. Matt, you and I as Caucasians, you as a Gentile Caucasian, me as a Jewish Caucasian, we look at Scripture and we want to do our best to understand it in its context and background. We're born in America. We have certain perspectives. But, you know, for centuries, Jesus was depicted in art as a white European, you know, almost blonde-haired, blue-eyed. And then a lot of our theological statements seem to be European and even medieval and after. Has the church lost touch with its roots, and have we swung the other way?
Yeah. Oh, I would say absolutely yes. You know, I've got a radio show, and I repeatedly, over the years, have said Jesus is not the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer dude in a woman's nightgown. Mm. We have this typification of him as being the soft-skinned white man with blue eyes. Well, he wasn't. If anything, he looked more like an Arab than a typical white person. The problem is that we all have our worldviews. We all construct them. And we construct them based on what's close to us. We white people, we see white people in the mirror. Our friends are mostly white, so therefore Jesus, well, he's got to be white like us because that's what's good, that's what's right, that's what's normal. And blacks, I've seen pictures where Jesus is supposed to be a black guy. It's fine, I don't care. But the thing is, if we have our noses in the Word of God and we see that God does not care about skin color, he cares about those who put their faith and trust and their hope in Jesus Christ. If we can get off our blinders, our ethnic blinders, and remove our ethnocentricity, then we can cross these racial lines and do what Jesus wants us to do. Love one another because they're made in the image of God. Black, white, brown, yellow, it doesn't make any difference. They all have to have that same respect and honor. And that's how it's supposed to be. It is the enemy, and you know this, it's the enemy who wants to see Christians divided and Gentiles and Jews divided and believers and unbelievers divided. And we're seeing this with the rise of Black Hebrew Israelitism and, I believe, to some extent, the Caucasianization of Christianity in Europe over the past millennium. I think that's a problem.
Right. Absolutely. And I appreciate the balanced way that you laid that out. And ultimately, what the gospel is all about on a fundamental level, it does bring people together. It does wash away the race line. And I understand there's still a lot of segregation in the body, but ultimately there must be this recognition of oneness in Jesus and mutual honor for one another. Matt, when folks go to your website, what can they expect?
Well, if they were to research this particular topic, they'll see a single page with a synopsis of what it is, how it began, and some of its doctrines. And they can go there and get a quick, easy overview of the Black Hebrew Israelite movement. If they were to explore the website, this website gets 2 million page views a month. It would take them weeks to go through all the material. There's just a lot there. So what we try and do is glorify God through the person of Jesus Christ and provide answers for people so that they can understand God better, Christ better, themselves better in relationship to Jesus. That's the whole purpose of it. And we don't care what color you are. We don't care how old you are, what gender. We don't care if you got a PhD. We just want you to love Jesus.
That's and if folks have questions, just, you know, does God even exist or is the Bible true or what about Islam? I mean, will they find all that stuff there on your website?
Absolutely. I've done a lot of debates, and I teach on how to demonstrate God exists. We've got stuff on atheism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Islam, Roman Catholicism. We're going to be developing a Jewish history, a Messianic Judaism section. We're working on homeschooling stuff. We've got women pastor issues, homosexuality discussed, logic, you name it. We got it. They're working on the website for almost 19 years.
Awesome. And there's really in-depth stuff. I've been blessed. I've gone there for resource material as well. Hey, Matt, thanks as always for joining us again. The website, CARM, CARM.org. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, brother. Thanks.
All right. Thanks again. 866-34-TRUTH. If you have a question that you would like to ask directly to someone who holds to some or many of the tenets of Black Hebrew Israelite faith, that will be my guest in the next hour. All right, let's see. I'm reading Exodus chapter 3 in the Tree of Life Bible. Now Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. So he led the flock to the farthest end of the wilderness, coming to the mountain of God Horeb. Then the angel of Adonai appeared to him in a flame of fire from within a bush. So he looked and saw the bush burning with fire, yet it was not consumed. Moses thought, I will go now and see this great sight. Why is the bush not burnt? When Adonai saw that he turned to look, he called out to him in the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. So he answered, Hineni, which is, here I am. And it's a famous term in Hebrew. Then he said, come no closer, take your sandals off of your feet. And it goes on from there, verse 10. Come now, I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, Bnei Yisrael, children of Israel, out from Egypt. And then when Moses asked, who should I say sent me? God answered Moses, I am who I am. Then he said, you are to say to Bnei Yisrael, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, you are to say to Bnei Yisrael, Adonai, the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me to you. Friends, we are the very first to announce it. In fact, I started announcing it a little ahead of when I was supposed to this week. Just found out. So the shipment's on its way. We should have everything in within a month to send out to you. And it will be the first ever complete Bible, Tree of Life, Messianic version, all translated from the original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, a fresh new translation by a team with many PhDs, scholars, theologians, Messianic Jewish leaders, Christian teachers, and you'll find it to be ideal. You'll find it to be something you can use in your private study, in your public preaching and ministry. Suggested retail value for the hardcover volume, $30. And it's slimline as well, even meant to fit in a pew in a congregation. But your gift of any size, only through our ministry, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, it is Satan who wants to divide and destroy. It is Jesus, Yeshua, who makes us one in Him. From the Black Hebrews to your Jewish questions on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, you've tuned in to the right place.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire on this thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Later in the show, time permitting, I'm going to read a blog post from my friend David Harwood. He's been on the show with us, Messianic Jewish Leader on Long Island. And we featured his book, God's True Love, and played a clip of his song, This Era's Marcion, which I thought is just brilliant satire. Some folks don't like it, no surprise, but he posted on his blog recently, you might hold to replacement theology if, and he lays some things out, and that's getting some lively responses. So I may get to that a little bit later in the broadcast. As always, your Jewish-related calls are welcome. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And around 3:20, I need my hands-on team here, Matt, Joey, Dwight, to remind me to give a shout-out to the students at Charlotte Christian School that I addressed this morning, several hundred very focused, listening young people, high school students there. And I told them if a few of them joined me on my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, I'd give them a shout-out and post the picture from being there. So I don't want to forget doing that. Matt, don't post it now. Come on, man. Joe, let's see. Let's see if you're going to fall over each other to do this. Post it now. Thanks. 866-348-7884. I wrote an article. I don't think it's up yet, but it'll be on the WorldNet Daily site probably within a day or so. I wrote an article about what's happening in the NBA, what I call the NBA soap opera. I mean, truth is stranger than fiction with everything unfolding with this. And, I close it with a little bit of a joke at the end. You know, I'm having a little fun at the end about all the wild sub-stories that are coming out of this current mess that's taking place. And if you haven't followed it, don't worry about it. But, someone's going to raise this issue somewhere, that what's happening in the NBA goes beyond whites treating blacks like they own them, like slaves, and that accusation of demeaning treatment with a league that's a good 75% African American, these gifted, hardworking athletes. But somebody's got to raise this. But yeah, it gets worse though. Because who runs the whole show? Who controls the whole thing? Come on, figure it out. It's Jews. That's right. Oh, yeah, Donald Sterling, Jewish. You know, we know that. But come on, let's go a little further here. How about the fact that the former commissioner of the NBA, who ruled strongly for many, many years and very successfully, David Stern, and the current NBA commissioner is who? Adam Silver. Oh, you see? The Jews actually rule the whole world and run everything. All right, here's the only truth. I'm having fun. I'm being silly about this. Here's the only truth. The Lord to whom we bow, the Lord that we honor, the Lord Jesus Yeshua, in terms of his human ancestry, is a Jew. And that's why he's called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. I always say it's going to be a bad, bad day for anti-Semites when the one coming in the clouds of heaven is a glorified Jew. All right, we'll be back to discuss some issues regarding Black Hebrew Israelites, see if we can separate some fact from fiction here on The Line of Fire.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, you hear that music? That means it's Thoroughly Jewish Thursday here on The Line of Fire. All right. A few months ago, I got a note from a colleague of mine who works with CARM, a Christian Apologetic Network major website, CARM.org, and he asked me what I knew about the Black Hebrew Israelites, and it was very little. A lot of it went back to a confrontation I had over 20 years ago in the streets of New York City when I challenged them, and it was a pretty wild scene. I described it in the first hour. And this brother said to me that when he was speaking at a conference and was speaking to a lot of inner city pastors, they said, this is actually a bigger issue than you may realize. You may not see it in social media, the internet so much, but it's a deeper issue. So he began to research things, look into them. And we said, well, let's talk about it on the air. And in point of fact, on my end, as a Jewish man who's a follower of Jesus, I can't say exactly why, but I always felt a special kinship with my Black brothers and sisters. You know, I joke about it when I preach in some of the churches that, you know, white churches, we preach on the downbeat instead of the, excuse me, we clap on the downbeat instead of the upbeat, you know, as a drummer, you know, just rhythm and soul, you know, the vitality but I mean, that's just a silly little thing I've said. It goes far beyond that. Maybe that we're both peoples who've been oppressed and freed slaves and so on. So when I see in Jewish society negative attitudes towards Blacks, or when I see in Black society negative attitudes towards Jews, that's something that concerns me. So I have a guest on the air with me, Carl Albert. And he is the founder of Israel Doctrine Entertainment. Carl, I really appreciate you taking the time to join us on the air today, sir.
Peace. How you doing?
Doing very well. Could you explain first the name of your organization, what that actually means and what you do?
Well, I rap. So the name is based up on the entertainment company that I came up with to deal with what you're talking about today, the Israelites. Mm-hmm. So the terminology came about when I was doing a publishing company for ASCAP, and I was thinking, what's a good name? So I came up with Israel Doctrine, a terminology that I came up with to basically state what the Bible is to me. It's Israel Doctrine, based on the fact that the God of Israel and Isaiah 49 is called Israel. Daniel 9 and 19 states that the people in the land was named after him. So the teachings are named after him now due to the fact that I came up with the terminology just to say the Bible is the doctrine of Israel based upon our God and mm-hmm. our surname.
All right. And on your website, you're careful to say, although some exterior similarities may be found between other groups and ourselves, beneath the surface, there are key fundamentals that have caused us to be accurately unique and separate. Do you consider yourself part of the Black Hebrew Israelites, or is that a very mixed question for you?
It's a mixed question. I would consider myself a part of them, but the terminology I really don't use because it's a gumbo of words trying mm-hmm. to describe. I would say I'm a part of the nation of Israel, which is being very technical and stating that that's my nationality. Black is a byword that's been put up on us here in America and abroad by the different languages that people use to describe us. They don't call us Israel anymore, seeing that the Lord said he would take that name away from us because he want to keep his name safe, clean, and we have taken his name in vain, as some do today. So therefore, you know, those terminologies come up for us Black Hebrew Israelite to try to describe the byword, the roots of the Israelites, which are Hebrew, and then the nation or nationality that we are truly known as in the Bible. And mm-hmm. Jew is also a part of that, but you have the quote-unquote term Black Jew.
All right. So when I think of a Black Jew, I think of a Jew in Ethiopia who traces things back to the God of Israel. Do you consider me a Jew, an Israelite?
If you say proselytize or whatever, because...
No, I mean by blood and heritage.
By blood, I would consider you an Edomite, one that took over the land and the name and the history and everything in 70 A.D. when Titus sacked Rome. Uh-huh. He basically ran us out of, you know, out of Israel, and some of us went to Africa, as you say, the black Jews that's known there by the different, you know, tribes and stuff that's there that claims a Jewish lineage. Mm-hmm. And at that time, from my knowledge, reading Obadiah and stuff, it states that Edom went in, took the land and this net and everything, and when they did that, they took on our identity, and we became a byword and a proverb to the rest of the nation. And so that's what you hear people say when they call themselves black Hebrew Israelites.
All right. Now, of course, I as a Jew and my people, Israel, have been persecuted and decimated and mocked and hated for centuries. So we've certainly been mistreated and been a byword. You mentioned Obadiah, though. I don't follow that because Obadiah is written well over 500 years before the events surrounding the Second Temple. And they're actually talking about what happened when the first temple was destroyed and how the Edomites mocked the Jewish people going to exile. So that's talking about something that was hundreds and hundreds of years before. There's no Edomite history after 70 AD. So I'm confused right. In terms of what you're saying there.
Right. When you look at the history, in 70 AD, Jerusalem was sacked. The Israelites was ran out. In 70 AD, the Edomites fell off the historical map. How could that happen that you lose a whole nation of people unless they took on another identity, and then we took up on another identity, meaning there's an identity out there that's not found now, and that's the Edomites, which is Esau children's identity.
Here's what I'm missing, and I'm just trying to understand you, sir, because you've obviously thought about these issues and read them. The Edomites, they didn't fall off the chart or anything like that at all. These continued to the extent that they continue as a people. They continued as a Middle Eastern Arabic people, Arabic speaking people, and that's where they would have been joined. But you know, Obadiah has nothing to do with the destruction of the temple in 70. And there's no record of them doing well. You know, I'm just looking at the history of Edom, and you know, my field of studies was ancient Near Eastern studies. I don't see where Edom took anything over and then suddenly disappeared. I just don't see that anywhere in history before or after. I mean, it seems to be just being manufactured to suit a narrative. So that's what I'm trying to understand, sir.
Okay. Well, like I said, we had more time on the show because I was stated I was given a certain length of time, so I cannot get into that in depth in the time mm-hmm. frame in which you have allowed me. But if you look at the Zondervan Bible Dictionary, you will see that Ham is the progenitor of the dark races, but not the Negro. And we know in America that the Negro is the African-American or the black. And so, therefore, the Zondervan Bible Dictionary states that we are not Hamitic. If we're not Hamitic, then we're Semitic. And if we're Semitic, or Shemitic, then that would mean that we fall somewhere in that genealogy line coming from Abraham also, which that's the term Hebrew come in. When you deal with Hebrew, you got Israelites, Edomites, and Ishmaelites. Now, when you say Arab, I would say those are the Ishmaelites. When I say Israelites, I would say those are the Negroes that we know as today. And then when you say Edomites, I would say those are the ones known as Jews today. And, you know, it's no...
All right, so you would say then that you're a descendant of Ishmael and I'm a descendant of Isaac then?
No, you're a descendant of Esau and I'm a descendant of Jacob. That's what I would say.
Ah, all right, even though you said you trace things back to Ishmael. Got it.
No,
all right.
No,
now of course, you understand, sir, that I categorically differ with you historically and based on scripture, but we're having a discussion to try to understand things, and I want to give you the opportunity to do so. We come back, and maybe we can talk a little longer. I'm curious to know how you feel, and I'm not asking now because we've got a break coming up, sir, but I'm curious to know how you feel about some of the extreme racist comments that we hear from Black Hebrew Israelites. We understand there's racism everywhere. There's racism in all parts of the world, and it's ugly. We renounce it. But I'm just curious to hear how you feel about that, because some of the anti-Semitic lies, some of the junk that comes against us, it comes against me as a Jew, is that we're not really Jews, and we're not really descendants of Israel, and you know, therefore the promises aren't ours or anything like that. So this seems to fuel some of it, but I want to hear your response. Okay, I want to get it from someone who's looked at this. Thank you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Judah, mourn! First of all, again, talking about the Jews. It said Judah what?
Mourning!
It said the real Jews will be in mourning. These crackers ain't mourning over there in our motherland. They run the Diamond District.
That's right.
They run the Banks of America.
That's right.
Can I talk?
They in league with America. They got armies and jets. They fight when they get hurt, man. They not mourning. But the real Jews are in mourning. Why? Because they in captivity in America. Because they the first fired and the last hired. Because they oppressed in the ghettos full of crack and heroin and marijuana. And because they don't get no justice by the white man.
My guest, Carl Albert of Israel Entertainment Doctrine. Carl, when I've thought of Black Hebrew Israelites, and again, you're using different terms in your own description, that's what I've thought of. That's what I ran into in New York City. And I renounce racism of any kind, whether it comes from whites, blacks, Jews, Asians, doesn't matter. Do you have a comment on that? Does that reflect your own sentiments?
No, my sentiments is I use the name Jesus. I use that term because I use the KJV Bible. And now dealing with Jesus himself, he was not a racist, even though he said he's only son to the lost sheep of Israel. And when I say Jesus, I'm talking about a black Jesus, not a white Jesus, which I'm stating that the Israelites were black, or Jesus would be considered a Negro today if he was walking around in America. But, you know, at the end of the day, when they make those statements, it only shows hurt, pain, and racism. Due to the fact that we have been under the stress of racism and slavery and things of that nature. So when one don't understand the purity of the doctrine and the curses of Deuteronomy 28 and how we was going to be enslaved and how to get out of it, you know, then you have those sentiments amongst those that, you know, have been fed a doctrine of hate, which most are. I don't teach it. I don't perpetuate it, nor do I agree with it.
All right, and Carl, when you mentioned the law, how do you relate to the law of Moses?
I relate to the law of Moses is that it's the written law, but Jesus, the prophet like unto Moses, brought us the spiritual law, which Paul tells us we have to basically leave the law, the letter, and go to the spirit. And that's when one can be a Jew no matter what, when they're one inwardly, as Paul saying Romans 2 in the very last verse. I had to grab my Bible for that.
I've got those verses right. The end of Romans right. 2, especially 27-29. Okay, so you're saying that in the spirit, and then do you believe in the concept of salvation or being born again?
I believe born again is Jesus being the firstborn from the dead, showing the process of the curse that if you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you should go back to the ground from which you came, which is death. And resurrection is truly the rebirth, going into Mother Earth and coming out again. That's born again. The spiritual aspect is when you renew your mind. When you renew your mind, then you get on the milk, the fruit, and then get to the meat. And those are the two processes that I consider born again.
All right, so is it a matter of having your sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus and knowing that you're right with God, or is it more something that as you keep
correct,
the law?
Through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, which I just kept the Passover, which shows forth that when you eat the bread and wine and you keep that in commemory of his death and his shedding of his blood. As Acts 20 and 28 say, the church was purchased by God, which I believe Jesus is God, purchased by God. And, you know, that's pretty much my sentiments.
Got it. So in what way do you feel that the church that preaches Jesus, believes in the scriptures, but says we're not under obligation, say, to keep the dietary laws, do you think those people are under God's judgment or risking hell punishment?
Well, as you say, as many that's under the law shall be judged with the law, and as many without the law will be judged without the law. But most of those are under a delusion of Roman Catholic dogma or Catholicism. So therefore, they listen to preachers today that follow that same sentiment of the Roman Catholic Church, and therefore they come up with that understanding and they tell everybody pretty much what they hear from their preachers because they don't study the Word for themselves.
All right. And Carl, there are DNA tests that indicate that Jews like me, I say like me in terms of, you know, you're claiming that I'm an Edomite, so I'm just making this clear distinction, that those that have lineage that goes back to Aaron, that are priestly, many have the last name Cohen, actually DNA tests confirm that we go all the way back to the priestly tribes in Israel, that there is a genetic marker that joins these people together. It can be traced back to the Middle East. It can be traced back millennia. That goes completely against your theory. Have you ever looked at DNA related issues?
Well, if we deal with the genetic marker or the DNA, Esau and Jacob was twin brothers. So why wouldn't our DNA match at some point in time, seeing that we come from two twins and the same two parents or grandparents from them sons? So we will have similar DNA at some point in time. So to make that argument based totally on DNA is kind of fragile.
All right. And just last question with our time here. So the tribe of Levi then, that I'm saying that the priestly tribe goes back to and can clearly be traced by DNA back to the Middle East. Who do you say the tribe of Levi today is?
I don't say it's no one. The only thing I recognize is that the 12 tribes of Israel has been scattered throughout the four winds of heaven and that they will not come back together as the whole nation until the Messiah, Jesus Christ, come back and set up on the throne of David and bring down all principalities, most definitely the fourth beast that's mentioned in Daniel, in the book of Daniel, and also in Revelation when it talks about in Revelation 13 and the great whore that sits up on many waters that's riding upon the beast. When they taken down, then Israel will be put back in power because our king, our high priest, will be here sitting on the throne of David, regulating the whole world.
All right, tell you what, stay here. If you can stick around just a couple more minutes, I've got a couple more questions for you. And friends, I just want to draw your attention to the Tree of Life Bible, the Tree of Life Messianic Version. I actually started announcing it earlier this week. I found out I was a little bit ahead. I was some of the first one announcing this. It is $30 retail value. It's a hardcover. It's the first complete translation of its kind from the Hebrew, from the Aramaic, from the Greek, with messianic distinctives, but something that reads in a lively, excellent way. Excellent scholars were involved with it. And I'm looking at text from Jeremiah right in front of me. Your gift of any size, some of you can be very generous. You've been blessed with extra resources, and you can help contribute so that those with less money can take advantage of this as well. Just do what's on your heart. You're able to do 1-800-278-9978. We'll be getting these in about a month. You will be the first anywhere to receive them. 1-800-278-9978. The groundbreaking Messianic Life, Tree of Life translation.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. We started talking last hour about issues concerning Black Hebrew Israelites, which I said is a cult, a sect. We have a guest on who may have some things in common and then some other beliefs that are different, Carl Albert of Israel Entertainment Doctrine. And Carl's able to stay on a few minutes more. And you understand that I'm not attempting to have a debate with you as much as ask some honest questions to better understand what you believe, Carl. Do you have, I mean you individually, but what you hold to and believe, how widespread would you say this is in the Black communities of America today?
Well, let me correct something. That's Israel Doctrine Entertainment. Also, IsraelDoctrineEntertainment.com. You can go there and get a lot of information what I'm saying.
Yes, sorry. Yes, Israel Doctrine Entertainment. Sorry, I said that wrong, sir. IsraelDoctrineEntertainment.com. Yeah, okay, so back to you.
Okay, now, I was born in Chicago, Illinois, and I came across this doctrine and this teaching one day. And I went to a tape ministry, basically, and bought tapes. The name of the class was the Israel of God. Then it's the House of Jacob, and then it's the Church of Israel, meaning there's three major classes in the state of Illinois and Chicago, Cook County, that teaches primarily the same thing I teach, which that's where my roots are at. And it's widespread. The Israel of God is in Atlanta, Dallas, Texas, New York, Zimbabwe, Canada, and a lot of places. And the other classes have classes that spread out throughout the United States, too. And, you know, we have core beliefs that Jesus is the God of Israel, that he comes to give salvation to Israel and the rest of the world through those that sojourn with Israel or become a part of the coming wealth of Israel. Not that the coming of wealth of Israel is just solely for Israel, but it's for the whole world, but it's a protocol into coming into the body of Christ. And Christ being a Jew, as you stated, we know it started with the Jews. I would even say that the first Christians, being Peter, Paul, and all of the apostles, were the first Christians. So,
and you would say that all of them, not just Jesus, but Paul, Peter, all the apostles were what we would call blacks or what were called Negroes in the past. That's how you would see that, correct?
Yes, I would see it like that. But like I said, others can come in as long as they're willing to come under the law, statutes, and commandments of the God of Israel, which are the teachings and the doctrines in which the quote-unquote black Hebrew Israelites or the Israelites of today, the Negro of today, teaches in cities in America. So what you faced in New York is only a part of it, and it's a reality, but it's a propaganda tool that people use too throughout YouTube, this, that, and the other to show the rest of Israel, those that believe they Israel, to look bad and to put a stain on the doctrine. So I'm only here to put a proper face on it and show people that everybody is not like the ones you played the audio clip of.
Got it, and that's why we asked you these questions and gave you the opportunity to be on the air on our national program and discuss this. I've got one more question. If you just stick around another minute, we've got a short segment here. We've got one more question. But to all of my friends listening right now from Charlotte Christian School, here is my shout-out to you. I was thrilled to hear that I was your favorite chapel speaker last year, and that I'm known to as Drug Bear. Well, that's part of my testimony, Drug Bear, before I was saved. So shout out to all of you. And in fact, I will post the picture to Facebook where I was this morning speaking to hundreds of students at Charlotte Christian School. And great joy to do that. All right, got one more question for my guest, Carl Albert. IsraelDoctrineEntertainment.com.
Fire we want, for fire we bleed. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on The Line of Fire. And just an unusual discussion today as we talked about black Hebrew Israelites in the last hour, some of whom vehemently say that the white man is the manifestation of Satan. And we have a guest on with us, Carl Albert. He is a rapper. His website, IsraelDoctrineEntertainment.com. He separates himself from the racist tendencies of some of these groups, but does believe that what we would call in the past Negro or the black person, the African-American, is actually an original Israelite, and that I, as a Jew of different color, actually I'm a descendant of Edom. So, Carl, again, not trying to debate you here. You understand my profound differences with some of the things you're saying. Why do you think that my people have been so hated and marked for destruction, from the Adolf Hitlers to others? I mean, it sure seems to me like what Scripture talks about, and like Satan is trying to wipe us out, and the whole world being hostile to our presence in Israel and coming against us in Jerusalem. Why do you think that is, if we're not the real Israelites?
Well, it's due to the fact that Edom or Esau got the same blessing as Jacob. Jacob can only get his blessing after Esau has worn out the blessing, in which one and the same. The fatness of the world, this, that, and the other. So from my understanding of studying the text, that Esau has the fatness of the land, the money, the riches, and mean that put him in a position of power. As you said, jokingly saying, but which is true, that the Jews of today run the NBA, they run the movie industry, they run pretty much everything because they're in a position of power, as well as the Gentiles, which is the Roman Catholic Church and this, that, and the other. So Judaism and Christianity, Roman Catholic Christianity and Judaism, pretty much run the world and are the two main factors that is running things. So when you're on top, you tend to get the persecution and the hate from those that's on the bottom and being persecuted and being trodden.
Right. So even in our history in the past, when we were nothing near the top, if you ever saw Fiddler on the Roof, we were often oppressed, couldn't work regular jobs, we're not part of the national education system, had to live in ghettos. We were still hated and persecuted when we were anything but the ones in control. I guess the thing, though, when I think of it, sir, I know we can trace our history back generation after generation after generation. It's not really debatable where we've been scattered, where we live. It's well traceable. Whereas the scenario you're presenting historically, I can demonstrate, is a myth. Has it ever dawned on you that perhaps you are discovering some roots that are important, and perhaps the biggest thing is to recognize that we all meet at the foot of the cross? Could it be that perhaps you've gone overboard in your studies and are believing things that are just mythical and fiction that can easily be refuted historically?
Well, one would have to prove that it can be, you know, and I'm about debate. I've been on debate talk for you. I'm trying to get in other debate arenas. And once it's put to the test, then the truth shall prevail and the truth shall set you free, as Jesus said. So if one believes that, then one should be able to sit down at a table, bring out the documentation, and prove forth that which they claim to believe, know, or understand. So, I mean, I'm willing to take anyone up on the premises that we are what we claim to be, and yet and still show it in a righteous manner with, you know, a taste of artistic flavor that you probably haven't heard before. And that's the problem. The true message of Israel doctrine, or the doctrine of the God of Israel through his true people, hasn't been put out there.
Got it. And so would you say you're the first to be putting it out?
No, as I stated, I have three classes that I dealt with in Chicago in the past that carries the same message and believe.
All right,
the
so
same
they
thing.
they would be the forerunners then who have recovered this in your eyes.
In the most sound way of putting it out, it's others that have been aware that the blacks are Jews, the mm-hmm. true Jews or the true Israelites, and they put it out there, but not in the soundest manner.
Right. All right, got it. But you've basically gotten it together. You'd be the first one that's gotten it this sound. From what I'm hearing, I'm not trying to ask a silly question, but that's kind of
well,
what you
I
believe.
Yeah, I consider myself to be pretty sound in my teachers. I've been dealing with this since 96, and mm-hmm. I haven't been able to devote at least 6 or 7 months out of a year studying it. I got a blog talk radio show that I do every day, and I've been doing every day for 5 years dealing with all of my brethren and sisterin that believes as the audio clip stated, and I've been fighting them about that, trying to sanitize the word of the God of Israel.
Got it. Hey, listen, Carl, here's where I agree. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples. Indeed, you know the truth. The truth will set you free. And I've been studying, seeking God and studying scriptures diligently for 42-plus years. So I encourage you to stay on your study. And the biggest thing that I think is most easily refuted is really the foundation of much of what you're saying, namely that you can trace me back to Edom, and that you can clearly show that the Edomites were the ones who somehow got substituted for Israelites in history. I'd say that's the weakest link of all. I could care less if Jesus was black or white or yellow. That's all immaterial in terms of outward things. But Carl, gave you a lot of time, wanted to talk to you. Appreciate you coming on, and maybe we'll interact in the future.
Okay, thanks. And like I said, anytime you or anybody that hears this program, just you know, the person that contact me has my information. Like
yes,
I said,
sir.
I'm willing to sit down and deal with anybody about the information. And I appreciate for you allowing me such time on the show to get some of those viewpoints out.
Got it. All right, Carl. And let's pray for God's truth to triumph. Thank you for joining me. I think it's important to know a perspective that's out there. And I took a bit more time than I was planning, but I wanted to give Carl the opportunity to express himself. And again, I wasn't trying to have a debate. And certain things, you know, when facts are presented differently, when I'm quite sure of what history says and so on, then obviously it's challenging, you know, how to demonstrate that. The thing that's interesting, while I reject the idea that there's an unbroken chain of tradition that has been passed down through all generations from Moses until today that is binding for Jews, that would be called the oral law, which is the foundation of Jewish tradition. Well, I do not accept that. In fact, Volume 5 of my series, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, deals with that extensively. What I do know is that we do have a good chain in terms of we know where we've been, we know the communities we've lived in, we know where we've been scattered, we have often been persecuted and kicked out of country after country where we have been anything but the head. In other words, the situation in America today where Jews, we're about 3% of the national population, where we have the degree of power and influence we do, that remains the anomaly. That is definitely not the norm. And in fact, I may just play it. Let's just see if I can get a clip here, and I'll play it from my side. In fact, just some beliefs about Jewish people and us controlling the world. You know, we have certain influence in America and economy and media and things like that. You can actually believe these lies more readily now, but for most of our history, it's been anything but that. Listen to this.
Actually, they're part of the mind control system that they use through television and the media.
That's the higher ups.
That right there is in a book called The Elders of the Protocols of Zion. That was in like 1898. They was talking about how the Jews will use TV and media and propaganda to control the world and take over the world. It is.
It's implementing it right now.
It's actually, when you read it, they say it's false. But when you read it, you see everything coming to light.
Yeah, it is fascinating. It's actually the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, notorious forgery that was used, circulated by Russian police and others to make Jews look bad 100-plus years ago. And according to the protocols, at the end, these Jewish leaders will bring the whole world into subjection to, are you ready? Are you ready? The Hindu god Vishnu. I kid you not. That's in the protocols, too. That's how wild it all gets. But hey, throughout the Muslim world, they're believed to be true, widely believed in the Muslim world. And Henry Ford accepted them, wrote about them. Then, of course, apologetic for it later. But we're going to come back. I'm going to read Psalm 1 from the Tree of Life Bible.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friend, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's just see, is it up yet? On Facebook, the picture is loading with my shout-out to the students at Charlotte Christian School. Spoke to high school students today about prayer, about personal revival, about really going after God and living our lives for Him. So that's going to be posted any moment on my Ask Dr. Brown page, A-S-K-D-R Brown. I said friend. I did. I was just being very personal, welcoming back our friends. But hey, I'm just probably talking to one of you as you're driving your car. So there you are. That's the one I was speaking to. You are all these guys are the one. I just want to play a couple more clips from Black Hebrew Rhetoric. And remember, as I've said this repeatedly, there's racism everywhere, on all sides. God knows our American history and the shame of that. And you'll find racists in every group and among every people. And that's why we as followers of Jesus need to really demonstrate what it means to be one and to honor one another. We have our distinctives, but to be one and honor one another. And I appreciate Carl Albert, with whom I disagree passionately on quite a number of points, saying that he opposes these types of sentiments. But this is clip number 9, Black Hebrew Israelites talking about the real Holocaust. Clip number 8, actually, is what we'll play.
Judah mourning! The real Jews would be a mourning. They wouldn't be jokes like this Kazar baby. They wouldn't be jokes like this cat crying over Seth Harlan's car. The real Holocaust is all these slaves.
That's right!
The real Holocaust. A real Holocaust is 77 million North American Indians, man!
Well, of course, we all despise what the treatment of Native Americans in our midst. But these are Black Hebrew Israelites talking to a young Jewish man and either downplaying or denying the Holocaust. It's interesting they keep quoting and Judah mourns and Jews aren't mourning today. Well, Judah mourns, the passage is talking about in the midst of exile, in the midst of pain. We've had more than our share of mourning. And not only that, when I encountered them in Manhattan many years ago, they were quoting that to say the Hebrew is kadaru, and that means to be blackened or darkened. It's actually being ashen faced because of mourning and grief. But then you have other verses that in Lamentations talking about how the princes of Israel were white as snow. So it's obviously not Caucasian in terms of a white European. But they were certainly not black. And again, to repeat what Billy Graham said to a black audience, Jesus was lighter than you and darker than me. And of course, it's all ultimately material. But here's a young Jewish man. He started crying after they were mocking the Holocaust, and the discussion continues. Clip number 9.
6 million of who the Holocaust?
Are you saying the Holocaust is a joke?
It's a joke.
That's right!
Don't you dare!
Hell, Hitler! Let's give Hitler a hand!
That's right!
Let's give Hitler a hand!
German. You was oppressing the German. You was oppressing them. And God let them burn you to hell.
Yeah, God have mercy on those guys and bring them to repentance and faith in Jesus. The reality, friends, is that anti-Semitism continues to grow worldwide. Looking at a report from Sunday, April 27th, about worldwide anti-Semitism in 2013. And anti-Zionism, which is rampant in the West, the rise of right-wing extremist parties, each having its own wider agenda, the economic crisis that started already in 2008, cannot explain the present level of anti-Semitism. No large-scale military conflict occurred between Israelis and Palestinians in 2013, nor an attack such as the one of the Toulouse Jewish school in March 2012 that generated a wave of more violence. All in all, our conclusion is that the present anti-Semitic phenomenon is not dependent on external events. In short, what we witnessed in 2013 is classic net anti-Semitism per se. Followers of Jesus need to renounce it, work against it, and demonstrate what it means to love and honor one another, whoever we may be. Ah, listen to this. Psalm 1, superscription, Torah is a tree of wisdom. Happy is the one who has not walked in the advice of the wicked, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the Torah of Adonai. On his Torah he meditates day and night. He will be like a planted tree over streams of water, producing its fruit during its season. Its leaf never droops, but in all he does, he succeeds. The wicked are not so, for they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand during the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For Adonai knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to ruin. I'm reading from the Tree of Life version. How about Psalm 2, coronation of Messianic King? Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples mutter vanity? The kings of the earth set themselves up and rulers conspire together against Adonai and against his anointed one. Let's rip their chains apart and throw their ropes off us. He who sits in heaven laughs. Adonai mocks them. So he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. And on it goes, serve Adonai with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he become angry and you perish along your way, since his wrath may flare up suddenly. We are one of the first ministries anywhere in the world. A shipment of 20,000 Tree of Life Version Bibles is on its way over to the States, and our ministry will be among the very first to get the first 1,000. And the retail value is $30 for the Bible. It's hardcover. It's beautifully produced. It is an original translation, the first of its kind, from the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, an original translation of the whole Bible with messianic sensitivities, hence Torah instead of law, hence Adonai for Lord, hence Yeshua instead of Jesus. But as you can see, it reads beautifully and therefore is not just to be used in, say, a messianic Jewish congregation or those interested in Jewish roots, but it's for all believers to use and read. So we're making this available, though, for a gift to our ministry of any size. We're just encouraging you to be generous. And if you appreciate the work we do on the front lines, reaching Jewish people with the good news of Messiah, I spent hours after the show yesterday recording new video footage for the new Real Messiah website, which should launch probably in June. I think you'll find the content rich and wonderful. And you're the ones helping us do this. You're the ones standing with us, holding our hands up and helping us make a difference. So your generous gift, we will send you as soon as they're in, be a few more weeks before we have them in, the Tree of Life Messianic version of the whole Bible. And again, you'll be the first anywhere in the world to have this hot off the presses, literally. So call now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Again, 1-800-278-9978. And once more, your gift of any size, you'll really help us and you'll be blessed and you will really enjoy this version and you'll get a lot of insight along the way just as you read. And think of turning to the letter of Jacob and the letter of Judah, and there it is in the New Testament. My bottom line today, isn't it interesting how Jesus died to break down the middle wall of partition that divides peoples, and yet we constantly keep putting it back up? Thanks for